You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So I wasn't intending on doing another story on Northern Ireland, and then some actually quite, you know, happy news came out of Northern Ireland. It's news to warm the hearts of nations, is same-sex marriage and abortion are looking likely to be legalised in Northern Ireland, finally. Kind of. And it's real weird how it's happened. It's been a very kind of strange series of events. So just to give you kind of the background, same-sex marriage has been legal in England, Scotland and Wales since 2013. It's been legal in the Irish Republic since 2015. As for abortion, which is the other one, that's been for the most part legal since 1967 in the rest of the United Kingdom. Both areas are still illegal in Northern Ireland, with abortion, in the case of abortion, only in very, very extreme circumstances. And this has just been changed, but as is the case with Northern Irish politics, it wouldn't be Northern Irish politics without a whole load of complication. So why are they not legal in Northern Ireland is probably the first question you're wondering. And that is because in the case of same-sex marriage and abortion, both fall under the criminal law and health law, which was devolved to the Northern Irish Parliament with the Good Friday Agreement. So Northern Ireland doesn't really have a great record on LGBT rights. Give you an example, when England decriminalised homosexuality in 1967, it took until 1982 for Northern Ireland to catch up, and in the intervening 15 years, the DUP founder Reverend Ian Paisley led the notorious Save Ulster from Sodomy campaign, which made it out into global headlines. Now, this issue same-sex marriage shut down Stormont 2.5 years ago and broke the power-sharing agreement between the two parties, and both parties haven't even agreed to a referendum on the matter. And it's been festering for years. In the period since 2013, there have been endless marches, demonstrations, and 5 separate attempts to finally pass this through Stormont, and all have failed so far. Regarding abortion, it's only legal at the moment if there's a risk to the mother's life or if it would cause crippling physical or mental damage, because Northern Ireland never really took on the 1967 Abortion Reform Act, and that issue was kind of avoided for decades in Westminster because neither Catholics nor Protestants in Northern Ireland were ever going to be for it, so it just had no popular support until very recently. And this has only changed as the plight of Northern Irish women paying for private clinics in England and Scotland for abortions has entered common discourse. So how has this all been legalised? Well, the story goes is that last week, Labour MP for St Helens in Westminster, a guy called Conor McGinn, who's originally from a town called Camlock in South Armagh in Northern Ireland, put forward an amendment to an administration bill for Northern Ireland in the House of Commons in Westminster. And the amendment states that same-sex marriage and abortion will be reformed if Stormont fails to get back up and running by October 21st. If not, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland will arrange for regulations so the law takes effect in January 2020. So the status of abortion and same-sex marriage have gone from outright illegality to kind of a state of limbo. And this amendment can be repealed if the Assembly gets up and running and they vote the issues down. But this seems really, really unlikely and would probably ruin a lot of political careers for major leaders in Northern Ireland doing that, because same-sex marriage and abortion reform have overwhelming support from the electorate. So what does this whole process kind of mean, and how are voters kind of feeling about it? It's kind of a bit of a mixed bag of emotions, because on the one hand, obviously, a lot of people are very happy with the outcome because these laws had overwhelming support from the constituents. They've been waiting for them to come around for years. The only problem has just been the process that people have an issue with, because the fact that Westminster had to override Stormont and devolve power in Northern Ireland to pass this through kind of just sends a bit of a message that Northern Irish voters can't be trusted, and that's kind of left a lot of pessimism and despondency among the voting electorate, even more so when the government was collapsed. So it's with where we are at the moment, it seems likely that these are going to go through, But with all the talk about direct rule in the result of in the wake of no deal Brexit and the situation of having Stormont consistently just non-functioning, it just still, the fact that Westminster had to make this reform instead of the people of Northern Ireland just really has dented a lot of people's confidence in the political process. But that said, it does mean that by January 2020, if this Stormont doesn't get back up and running, a whole load of people in the UK will have civil rights they were previously denied. So that's what's been happening.
It's really interesting. And I think something that strikes me, which you mentioned, is so many of these particular social issues, the representatives who happen to be the ones that sitting in Parliament making these decisions, the way they decide on issues doesn't align with what the public think, and yet that is literally their job.
Absolutely. And there was actually an interview done by the BBC with a young gay man from a unionist community in Northern Ireland, and he said, even though I would love to see LGBT marriage here, I will still vote for the DUP because my unionism comes above my LGBT identity. So there are a lot of people voting against their own self-interest there because sectarianism is a stronger power than LGBT civil rights.
That's
evidently
incredible.
Among the electorate. So I think in the wake of that, just the idea, the fact that the Secretary of State has to override this, sending the message of we can't be trusted in Northern Ireland to run things ourselves like that, there's probably an element of truth to that by this point of 2 years of no government, but it doesn't feel good for, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't feel good when you're told you can't have control over your own affairs.
Yes, that makes some sense. Well, thank you so much for coming in and doing that for us. That was really interesting. I'm sure a lot of people listening probably, it's the sort of thing they probably haven't been following as closely
Absolutely.
As you. So it's good that you're here to provide some insight.
Yeah, well, it's caught me by surprise. And yeah, so no, it's very good. So we can all go away from this knowing that on the entire island of Ireland and in the entirety of the UK, someday soon you will be able to get gay married wherever you want.
Gay marriage for all. Thank you so much, Connor. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.